Blog Talk Radio.
Live. There we go. That's my sound. We are live. It is Friday. Let me see here. Okay, we good. I'm like, what is going on? We too much happening. It is Friday. February the 16th, 2018. And Take a Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side studios located here on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. And we have an outstanding show for you today. All right. A little bit of everything going on in here today. Amen. But look at y'all. We're going to have a good time today. It's Praise Break Friday. It's your boy, your host, Ms. Dana L. King. I'm in the studio by myself today. Don't know how long that might be. Might have a guest. Not sure. But we're going to keep it moving anyway. But as always, it's your boy, your host, Ms. Dana L. King, live from the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. Man, we have a great show today. Today's show is going to be hot. Today we're going to be discussing this great, great article. Y'all ready for this? It's real good. Simply entitled, Five Ways to Shift Your Worship Team Culture. Five Ways to Shift Your Worship Team Culture. That's today's topic of conversation. It is going to be good. We will be right back. We're going to jump into something real quick, y'all. Let me figure out what just happened over here because I think I just cut something off and didn't mean to do that. But anyway, y'all, we're going to jump into this. And we're going to be right back. Y'all ready? We're going to get a little praise on. Come on, Judy, give us something.
Come on, let's give him the highest praise tonight. Hallelujah.
The Lord is high above the heavens.
Hallelujah.
back live. This is good. This is awesome. Let's go. Let's go. So, look, y'all, let me get a rundown how you can be a part of the show. It might be your first time listening. So let me get a rundown how you can be a part of the show. If you're already listening on the line, simply push one and you could be a part of today's broadcast. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. We'd love to hear from you that way. Feel free to chime in. You can call in, give us your topic of conversation. You may have something you might want to say to us. We may have something we may want to say back to you. So feel free to do that, man. We're open to that discussion, as always, with you guys. It's going to be a good time. It's going to be a good time. If you want to email the show, you can do that. Email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Looking forward to hearing from you guys that way. Love our emailers, as always. That's takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Looking forward to hearing from you guys via the email. Amen, amen. Also, if you want to follow us on social media, you can do that as well. Real easy to do. Follow us on social media. Do a simple search for Taking the Limits Off Radio. You can find us on Twitter. You can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Again, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. That's how you can find us on Twitter. If you want to find us on Instagram, same thing, TTLO Radio. That's right, we're on Instagram. All right. We're on Instagram. You can find us right there as well, TTLO Radio. If you want to follow us on Facebook, real simple, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. That's where you can find us there, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Looking forward to hearing from you all that way. Amen. Amen. Love it. Love it. Love it. Let me fix this. Oh, that started making some noise. Amen. But you can find us there as well, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Looking forward to hearing from you all that way. The live streams are up and running. Yes, yes, the live streams are up and running. Ustream.tv. You can find us right there. Ustream.tv. Looking forward to hearing from you all on Ustream. Again, that's Ustream.tv. Real easy to do. Just do a simple search for Taking Limits Off Radio, and you can find us there. Amen. Amen. Facebook Live, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. That live stream is now up and running. You can find us right there as well. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can find us right there. Amen. Make sure we got this right. Yeah, we do. We do. facebook.com/TTLO Radio. And then if you want to watch us on the gram, you can follow us on Instagram as well. We're live on Instagram right now. Just do a simple search for TTLO Radio. Just put that in there and it will pop up instantly. We will be glad to do that for you as well. Amen. And then last but not least, you can subscribe to our podcast. Just do a simple search for Taking the Limits Off Radio. Taking the Limits Off Radio. Just do a simple Google search. You can find us right there. Amen, amen, and amen. Look, y'all, it's Friday. It's Praise Break Friday. I'm a little excited because it's Friday. It has been things are slowly coming back to normal. You know what I'm saying? After all of the, it has been for lack of better words, a tumultuous, yeah, that's the word I'm going to use today, a tumultuous last 3 weeks. It's been a tumultuous last 3 weeks. Really, I just want to say the last almost a month. It's been brutally hard, both mentally, physically, and most definitely spiritually. It's been a trying 30-some-odd days. But, man, God is still good, and I can still praise him. Despite that. Come on, Judy, give me some more of that. I still hear you in the background. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, in here. Yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. That's all right with me. Judy can holler anytime she wants to. Amen. Amen. That's all right with me. Anyway, I just had to share that a little bit. So anyway, I just want to share that with you all. It has been a little rough, but you know what? God is still good, and he's still in the blessing business. People say it all the time, but he's also still in the covering business. He's still in the protection business. He's still in the keeping his loving arms around you business. He's still in the deliverance business. He's in all of that. He's still doing all the things that he's been doing. He's never stopped. So And for that, we have to continue to give him some praise, some honor, and some glory. Amen. I can't do nothing but get excited about it. Amen. Amen. So look, y'all, we're going to have some. Y'all know it's Praise Break Friday, and y'all know I like to have fun on Friday. So I might as well go on and get this, because I saw your name pop up in the system here. Real quick, if y'all come in, y'all know what y'all do. When y'all come in the room on Facebook, speak to the people. Speak to the people. Speak to the other saints. That's right. Show yourself friendly. Show yourself friendly, church. Show yourself friendly. Then speak to me. Speak to me. That's right. Speak to me once you come in. Come on. Show yourself friendly. Some of y'all were talking about y'all ain't got no friends, but you want to show yourself friendly. Amen. Amen. So come in and speak to the people. But why y'all speaking to the people? Come on in. Why speaking to the people? Petty. I got to bring something up. So, see, Judy over here talking in tongues. Judy McAllister in here talking in tongues. But I just need to say something. I was hoping the prophet was going to be here. He knows that the invitation is always extended, but he's not here because he would have been able to help me with this, because the prophet is a cook. The prophet is also a cook. He's one who dabbles well in the kitchen. I tell y'all this, he made a cheesecake that was something else. Not a cheesecake, I'm sorry, a sweet potato pie. That's what it was. He brought us some sweet potato pie here that was anointed. So that lets me know he dabbles in the kitchen. But one of the things that I want to talk about, and I got to go over here and share this with y'all, and is she on the line? Prophetess, is she on here now? Sheridan S. Davis. The people did all the names that went up on the screen, so I can't see. I saw her pop in early. But y'all know Prophetess Sheridan. She was on the show. Y'all know her. Y'all probably, some of you all knew her already. Some introduced to her when she was on. She did the show with Angela Johnson, my twin. It was a One Sister to Another's presentation, and it was her and my producer, LaTanya Melton, Pastor Parks, Daria Springfield, all of them on the show, and a couple other people. They were all sitting around in this like living room setting at the Angela's Church. You know, so I've never actually met her in person. I really only know her via Facebook. I don't think I met her in person. Did I meet you? Yeah, I did. Just Sheridan S. Davis. Right. I put all your business on there. That's okay. You ain't got to come for you. I'm going to tell the truth. I don't care. So let me share this with y'all. So anyway, y'all know how y'all looking at stuff on Facebook sometimes. You know, people like to put food pictures up, right? Now, I'm all for food pictures. Y'all know when you go out to dinner and you post a picture of your food, I think it's a wonderful thing. I think, especially if the food looks amazing, I think it's wonderful. If you cook at home and you decide to post your dish on Facebook, I know some people don't care for it. It doesn't bother me if your dish looks amazing. I'm all about amazing looking food. We did meet once. Okay, bless your heart. All right. So I'm all about amazing looking food. I just think, and you know, my mama taught me a long time ago, presentation is everything. Right? That's what her head told me a long time ago. She said, boy, presentation is everything. So I took that to heart. I said, well, mama know what she's talking about. You know, hey, she been in the world and cooking longer than me. I'm going to take her at her word. Presentation is everything. So anyway, I go through Facebook and I see all kinds of food pictures on Facebook. Now, y'all know we talk about food a lot on this show. We like to eat on this show. If you've seen myself and y'all looked around the show, you've seen people. And you've seen people on the show, and you could tell based from some of my, I'm going to go ahead and be petty, from some of my co-hosts that, you know, we likes to eat around here. You know, that's what we do. That's kind of what we do. We likes to eat and have a good time and, you know, enjoy a good meal and a good beverage, the grown-up kind and all. But, you know, that's what we do around here. So, you know, when we see good food, we like to share it. Good food and good information that we have. So, you know, when I'm going through Facebook, especially around the holiday time, it really bothers me that people put all this good food up. See, don't try to clean it up before I tell it, prophetess. But, you know, people put all this good food up on the etherwave, as the good cardinal would say. You put all your food up here, and you have this amazing – sometimes the food don't look that great. But, you know, sometimes presentation can make up for some not good-looking food. But then other times, bad presentation can kill a possible good dish, right? You know, here's the deal. Y'all ever watch the Food Network? Y'all watch the Food Network, right? And I used to be a big fan of Iron Chef. Iron Chef was one of my favorite shows, the original Iron Chef, not this new stuff they got going now. But there's a chef, y'all know him, his name is Bobby Flay. Bobby Flay is one of the Iron Chefs. He's one of the original Iron Chefs, right? And Bobby Flay used to always get high marks at the end of the day for judgment. He would always get high marks on his presentation. I'm going to help y'all because I'm going to bring this back to church. That's why I'm using it, Prophet, so please don't be upset with me. But I'm going to bring this back to church. Presentation can sometimes cover up lackluster performance. Okay, let me help y'all. So here is the deal. Yesterday I was perusing Facebook, as I do, and the good prophetess had a picture up. Let me. If y'all don't mind, can I go to it? Let me see if it's still up. I don't gonna say too much. Help us today. I'm gonna try to get this thing fixed here in 1 minute. All right. So on yesterday, let me see if it's still here. Maybe did she take it? She probably took it down. Lord Hammer. Anyway, there was on yesterday a picture of some shrimp and grits. Now, I love me some good shrimp and grits. I don't think there's anything in the world better than some good shrimp and grits. I promise you, ain't nothing in the world like a good shrimp and a good shrimp with some grits, right? So the prophetess put this here picture up. That's what you get for being my friend on Facebook, because I will tell it. The prophetess put this picture up on Facebook. There it is right there. She put this picture up on Facebook, and it was some lovely looking shrimp and grits. I mean, the grits looked wonderful. The shrimp looked succulent. It just looked absolutely amazing, except there was one problem. Y'all ready? She put it on a paper plate. And y'all know, y'all got some of them friends, because I'm guilty too. You ever got some of them friends where you post the picture? And what you posted the picture about, that is not what your friends point out. Your friends point out your background and everything else. You know, I got, my producer, LaTanya Melton, is the queen of pointing out the background. So if your stuff ain't right in the back, she going to forget all that's on the front of your picture. She going to focus on that, you know, if you got a dirty mattress or your kitchen is dirty in the background, don't post no picture, let us see it, because she going to be like, yeah, I saw your food, but your kitchen nasty. You know, so she's going to point pictures and stuff like that, right? So I saw this wonderful picture of these shrimp and grits. I mean, it's wonderful. She had the nerve to put the little, what's the stuff she sprinkled on the top? I don't know if that's like a little Italian parsley or some basil or something, but she sprinkled it all on top, and it just looked wonderful. But I couldn't get past that paper plate. It's something about food on a paper plate that everybody else don't need to see. Now, if I'm at a picnic, that's what we eating on, that's wonderful. I 9 times out of 10 ain't going to take no picture of my food, though. But if I'm at a picnic, it's expected to have your food on a paper plate. But it's something about, and I know I'm finna get in some trouble with people, but even for holidays, and I know y'all finna holler, ain't nobody finna, parsley, thank you, ain't nobody finna wash no dishes on the holidays. I know that's the first thing. Ain't nobody finna wash no dish. Okay, fine. But I'm sorry, them styrofoam paper plates is not a good look when you trying to showcase your food dish down on the Facebook.
Huh?
I can't. Now, don't get me wrong. A paper plate serves its purpose. If I order pizza at home, I got some paper plates, I'll grab me a paper plate to eat the pizza off of. That's different. That's pizza. I ain't cooked it. But guess what? You ain't going to see no picture of it posted nowhere. But I just can't understand. Y'all help me. Because sometimes the presentation can take away from what you're actually trying to show me. Okay, I'm going to help somebody. Sometimes presentation can take away from what it is you're actually trying to serve. I'm going to bring that back to the church. I'm going to take that. Come on. I'm going to bring it back to the church. You can have a wonderful choir. You can have a wonderful praise team. Your pastor can be the best preacher this side of heaven. But if your church is nasty, huh? If your church is not clean, if your church is dirty, if your church don't look right, then all of the preaching and the shouting and the hallelujah ain't going to let me forget that your bathroom is nasty. Y'all don't hear me. There's a reason why I brought it. Sometimes we need to make sure that our presentation meets the expectation of what it is we're trying to serve. Oh, okay. Let me take it a step further. See, watch this. You ever been to a church and the preacher wasn't all that great? Come on. But the choir was amazing. And so the preaching can be mediocre if you have good musicians and good choirs, right? So see, one, they balance each other out. Something, you know, something covers up the other one. Or now watch this. Now if you, because see the choir, let me explain this to you. The choir is normally the first thing that gets people's attention when they come to your church. Either the choir or the musicians, they are the ones who get the next impression. Not the first impression, but the next impression. Because your greeters and your host people, your hospitality people, your ushers, people in the parking lot, those are your first impressions, right? But for some people, when you get into the church and you look at your program and it says the choir has an A-B selection coming. And the choir gets up and they start getting ready to sing. And as they start getting ready to sing, they sound a hot dog mess. And when I say they sound a hot mess, come on now. If they sound a hot mess, then now the preacher got to come and preach. Where is your mind at? Your mind is still on the two songs that were just destroyed that you never want to hear again. Because watch this. The sermon is the meat. The sermon is the main course, right? In any church service, the sermon is the main course. But if you done brought me, if you done served me the sermon, come on somebody, on a dirty plate. Ha! If you done served me the sermon on a paper plate, y'all don't play with me. If you done serve me, now I understand, look, it could have even, I don't care if it was Chinette. You ought to put folk. If you're trying to show it to somebody, now if you're only preaching to the choir, okay, but you ought to want folk to come and want them to come back again, right? See, I'm taking this in a whole other direction. See, I thought I was gonna pick on you, but I ain't. But you see, I want y'all to worry about presentation. Presentation means something. There's this word that's being misused a lot: perception. But perception does mean a lot, because if I perceive that your choir is not good, if I perceive that your musicians are not great, if I perceive that your praise team is lackluster, then my perception is going to be that everything that follows this is also going to be. Huh? I remember one time. Can I share something with y'all? Can I share something with y'all? My mom, is my mom on here? I don't know if she is or not. I remember we went to a dinner. One time, I ain't gonna call no names, and I ain't gonna say nothing because I won't start no trouble. But we went to a dinner one time. We were invited to a dinner after church. So we go to this dinner, and we get there, and dinner was supposed to start at a certain time at the people's house, and then it didn't. It was supposed to start at like 3. We got there, you know, a little early because we was on time. Didn't start on time. Sometime around 4:00, the dinner started. When it was time for the dinner to start, mind you invited us to dinner, right? They put paper plates on the table. They literally set the table with paper plates. I'm going to help y'all in a minute. They set the table with paper plates. We had baked chicken, and there was one knife on the table for everybody to cut with. Now, I really want to say it, but I just ain't going to. Lord knows I get in so much trouble. But it was, you want to talk about horrible impressions. Now, you done made sure, watch this now, when we got to the house for the dinner, you done walked us through this amazing house, you done showed us all these rooms, your mink coats, your TV, you got a flat screen on every wall in every room of the house, you done showed us all these things, you got a smoking area, you got all of these things. We're getting ready to sit down for dinner. At your dining room table. Mind you, we're sitting at the dining room table. And you serve the dinner on paper plates. Did you even have dinner rolls? You put a half a loaf of white bread, also stacked up, on paper plates. Huh? No. There was no good china, Felicia Martin. It was just paper plates. There was no good china. There was no good. There wasn't even a real. The only dishes that were real were the ones that the food was still in. Y'all don't hear me. So see, it the perception is either you don't care, or you didn't put forth the effort, or something, right? So the same thing applies when people come to your church. If you don't have the decency to keep an extra, you know what I'm saying? These things matter. These things matter. Perception matters. Now, back to the funny side. Prophetess, what's her name here? Sheridan S. Davis. Don't you put now another dish on Facebook, especially some good looking shrimp and grits. Don't you put now another dish on Facebook in a paper plate. Just don't do it. Don't do it. Don't please don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Just let us go. Let please don't do it. It's just mind boggling. Now it could have been worse. Cause I done seen some folk put some stuff on. You know, we gotta be careful, y'all. Talking about, you know, cause I know everybody believe they can cook, and you know some people can, some people can't, and then some people are just good and terrible. But you got to be careful with what you show them because, you know, it matters. It matters. Presentation matters. It does. You better leave her alone. What? Angela, you saw that plate. I'm looking at it right now. I wish I could. Wait till I get this program. I'm going to start playing with this thing today. When I get this thing fixed to figure out how I can put what I see on my screen so y'all can see it on y'all for y'all watching live. When I figure out how to get that thing working, it's going to be one. Do not – I come – look here. Look, when you put it on Facebook, it's open for discussion.
I'm sorry.
When you put it on, it's open for discussion. Anyway, I'm done. I'm going to leave it alone. I ain't trying to pick on nobody. But I did warn her ahead of time. I warned her ahead of time about that paper plate. Because the food looked wonderful. But them, yeah. Anyway, so look, y'all, I wanted to start off with something light because since we were last on the air, I'm going to move on. And I really want you all's opinions and comments. And if anybody wants to call in, you can. Area code 347. 9340546. Again, area code 347-9340546. Since we were last on the air on Wednesday, we had a shooting in Florida. We had another mass shooting since we were last on the air on Wednesday, and it is it's unbelievable, actually. That we've had to have this happen again in this country. I believe it was, let me make sure I have the date right, but the shooting actually occurred on, it's heartbreaking that this shooting occurred on, I believe it was Wednesday. Yeah, the shooting occurred on Wednesday. And I am just at a loss that we keep having the same stuff happen over and over and over again with no recourse. And it's amazing to me because here is the pattern. The shooting happens. We're horrified. We pray. We debate on Facebook. It fades away. And then another shooting happens. Nothing else ever happens to shift the paradigm or change the situation. Here is the deal. I understand. Again, y'all, if anybody's ever listened to this show before on radio, if anybody's ever watched this show before on Instagram or Ustream or Facebook Live, whichever medium you watch the show, however you listen, y'all know I'm an advocate for Second Amendment. I believe in the right to bear arms. I don't argue with anybody. I'm not trying to take. I don't believe people's guns should be taken away. I'm not that dude. I am really not that dude. I am not that dude. But what I am concerned about is in the last 5 to 6 mass shootings in this country, they all have one thing in common. The AR-15. The AR-15 assault rifle. That's the one thing that they all have in common. It doesn't matter if it was a terrorist act, if it was a homegrown terrorist, if it was ISIS, if it was whoever. They all have this one thing in common, and it is the assault rifle that listed as the AR-15. It is a rifle that is not made for hunting. It is a weapon that is made for killing. It is not a weapon that is made for self-defense. It is a weapon that is made for killing, and killing in mass quantities and doing it quickly. Everything that happened on Wednesday happened in 7 minutes. It happened in 7 minutes. That could not have happened with a handgun. That could not have happened with a regular hunting rifle. It could not have happened in 7 minutes. But everything that happened on Wednesday happened with because of this particular weapon that was used, the AR-15. Las Vegas concert, Orlando nightclub, Newtown, Connecticut, a church in Texas, and now a high school in Florida. Unbelievable. And it's not to, again, not trying to denigrate people, not trying to knock anybody's beliefs about anything, but here is where I have I want to make sure I touch on all of the different issues with this latest shooting. I don't know if you know this or not, but quietly, you know, the president likes to brag. Our president, because for lack of better words, unfortunately, I'm still an American citizen, and he is the American president, crazy or not. So he is still our president. But he likes to brag anytime he's able to roll back an Obama law or an Obama rule. He likes to brag about it. He normally holds a massive press conference in his office to show him signing off on something or changing something that Barack Obama did. That's his normal routine. We all know it. Anytime we've ever watched the news, we've seen it. This is where we are, right? But here is the issue. This president quietly a few weeks ago rolled back the law that was in place to not allow mentally ill people to be able to get a gun. Anyone who has a record, what was happening is anyone who had a mental record of having any type of mental outbreaks or angry outbreaks, mental issues or whatever, those records were sent to the FBI, which then tied those records to anybody going to buy a gun, right? Which means if I were crazy and there were a record of me being crazy because I had acted out and I was arrested and it was found and I was found to be having mental issues in a court or whatever it was, those records were then sent to the FBI so that if I went to go try and purchase a handgun, I would be denied, or any type of firearm, I would be denied. This president got rid of that law about a week and a half ago. Now, let me just for clarity's sake and to put this in the context, this kid already had his gun. But I'm talking about a larger scale issue. You say you're concerned about the people of this country. You say you're concerned about the American people. You don't want us to blame the handgun industry, but yet, or the gun industry, the gun manufacturing industry, but yet you repeal a law that would stop people just like this young man from shooting and injuring some 36 to 37 people, killing 17. But you changed the law so that now more crazy people can now go buy guns, even though they have a record that says they're crazy. So that means when I go to fill out the form, because there's a form you fill out, and it'll say when you go to buy a handgun, have you thought about committing crime or hurting anyone? Do you have any type of mental issues? And you check the no box. So then when they send your stuff off to be scanned for the waiting period, because this president has now changed the law and changed the rule, your crazy behind can now go and just get a gun. I really can't understand. And this is the problem. This is not a Democratic issue. This is not a Republican issue. This is not a right wing, left wing. This is just common doggone sense. Why do we believe that this is okay? In what universe, on what planet, in what country? Because last time I checked, this is America. This is not Afghanistan. If I lived in Afghanistan, if I lived in Iraq, if I lived in Israel, if I lived in Mexico, on the drug-torn side of Mexico, if I lived in any of these antiquated, disturbed places, then yes, an AR-15 would be a wonderful gun to have. I would have as many of them as I could in my household because I'm living in a war-torn country. But we are talking about the United States of America. There is no purpose for a normal, everyday going-to-work citizen, non-military personnel, non-police personnel, to own an AR-15 rifle. I don't care what you say, there is no reason behind it. Because if you can own an AR-15, then damn it, I can go get me a bazooka. I don't care. It don't matter to me. Y'all can get mad and say, well, Danny, you need to know what else. No. I have guns. I have several guns, all legal guns, right? But I don't have a need nor desire for this weapon. I mean, this is the craziness. This is the craziness. And then now people want to blame. There is some stuff we need to talk about. When you know people have issues, and see, we joke a lot about, you know, calling people. We jokingly, you know, tease our friends about being bipolar sometimes and having some mental, calling each other crazy. You know, we joke. We joke about that. But here is the problem. We do know that some people actually have some mental issues. We know, and all of us do. Watch this now. Think about this. Think about this for a moment. And I'm really not trying to be funny. But think about this for a moment. If something happened at your place of business, if something happened where you go to school, if something happened where you go to church, if something happened where you go to work and they said somebody lost their mind and went off and started killing people, let me ask you this question, and I'm not saying this to be funny. If something were to happen right now and you saw your business on the news, your workplace on the news, your church on the news, or your school on the news, if something happened, is there one individual who would come to mind that might be the culprit? Because if that person just came to your mind right now, then you should be worried. We know when people are unstable. This young man had a Facebook page, a Twitter page, and an Instagram page full of stuff that gave signs that he was crazy. He had a bed full of guns. He had a room full of guns laying on the bed. He had all types of videos posted where he said, I just want to go and kill a bunch of people. He just had major losses in his life. He had losses in his life from a toddler all the way up until his teenage years. His mom just died a few weeks ago from one of these horrible bouts with this flu. And then he was expelled from school. But here is the situation. Can't allow these types of situations and circumstances to go unchecked. Well, what are you saying? I understand how tough the gun lobby is. I understand how tough the National Rifle Association is. I understand how hardcore they are. I understand how much money they have. Trust me, I understand. I understand. But here is where we have issues. The NRA has only one goal in mind, and that's to make money. That's to make money. They have no other goal in mind. They have no, they're not looking, it's not about making sure that your rights to bear arms are protected. That's not it. Right now on the NRA's website, and you ain't got to believe me, on the NRA's website right now, they have a big old article up that was that says 10 reasons to own an AR-15. That is, literally, that's on their website right now. 10 reasons to own the AR-15. Just like I'm going to sit up here and tell you 5 ways to shift your worship team culture, to tell you something positive. This group of people has on their website right now 10 reasons you should own the same gun that this shooter just went and killed babies and teachers with. And we're supposed to be okay with that. We're supposed to be okay that our very politicians, Democrat and Republican, are getting money from the NRA to keep certain laws off the book, because they know doggone well should nobody, especially a dang on 18-year-old, be able to walk into a goddamn Walmart and buy an AR-15 off the shelf and then be able later on to just go and shoot up whoever the hell he want to. Because up until 2 years ago, you could go to Walmart and buy this very gun off the shelf. 2 years ago. And we're supposed to be okay with that. The same place I go to buy a loaf of bread, some milk, and a pad. Well, I'm just saying. The same place where you go to get this stuff is an AR-15 right there on the wall. It's only $800. Come on, buy it today. We'll throw in your first pack of bullets. No, sir. No, ma'am. At some point, here is a thing that we could rally behind. Now, watch this. I know, but now there's a bigger issue, because according to statistics, there are some 8 million of these guns, these AR-15s, already in the possession of Americans. So you're going to have an issue trying to get them back. You can't recall them, because they're going to say, now you're trying to take our guns. But what I'm saying is, can we stop selling them? Can we make them illegal unless you have a badge or unless you are in the military? And even if you're in the military, you don't get to bring, watch this, even the dang old soldiers don't get to bring home the M16 that they're using in the war. You got to leave that gun wherever you stationed. You don't get to bring it home. You don't see soldiers getting off the airplane, walking through the airport. Oh, I got my AR-15, man. You don't know how many people I killed with it. You don't see that happening. Our mindset is, oh, this is my Second Amendment right. No. And when that law was written, when that thing was put into the Constitution, we had muskets, 2-shot rifles. 2 shots. 2 shots. The look here. Our forefathers did not envision the Uzi when they were putting the Second Amendment into place. The Uzi and the MAC-10 were not a part of that equation. When they were putting that into the Constitution, nobody said, hey, let me make a gun that can shoot down 60 people in 60 seconds. That was not in the law. That was not the mindset. The mindset was so that you could take up and bear arms when needed. Nobody goes hunting with the AR-15. You ain't going to shoot no deer with an AR-15. You ain't shooting no elephant. You ain't shooting no dang on buffalo. You sure in the hell ain't shooting no squirrels. Shout out to Parks. You ain't doing none of that stuff with no AR-15. And I know guns don't kill people. People with guns kill people. I know, I've heard it. It's so cliche. But guess what? Crazy people shouldn't be allowed to carry them. There ought to be some time where we as a country say, you know what, no more. How many more babies have to be killed? And watch this. The gun he bought it legally. He bought the thing legally. It was not an illegal gun. I don't want to get into the argument about illegal versus, you know, legal guns versus illegal guns, but he bought the gun legally. But he bought it legally. But what does an 18-year-old walk into a store and the gun owner, the store owner, the store manager doesn't think it's an issue? The store manager doesn't think it's an issue putting this type of a deadly weapon in the hands of an 18-year-old. I mean, seriously. When do we stop? When does common sense kick in? When does common sense kick in? How many more children have to die? How many more months of this do we have to deal with? Think about this. Since Donald Trump has been in office, my God, since Donald Trump has been in office, we've had, what, 3 major mass shootings? 3. He's been in office a year, and we've had 3. All of them with this same damn gun. 3. And we don't think this is not the time. And then I saw Republicans, every time this happens, this is what irritates me so much about the Republican Party. I saw them instantly. Every time this happens, the first thing Republicans say is, wait. This ain't the time to start talking about gun laws. When is it? Okay, for the slow people, me over here, short yellow bus, for the slow people, when do we start talking about responsible gun laws? How many? What's the number? I'm serious. What's the number? Where does the number have to be before these idiots in office say, okay, that's too many babies? 50? I mean, in one setting. Because see, the number in different events must not matter. So the setting has to change, right? We need to have it ain't enough that is 17 in this setting and 15 in the other setting and a bunch more in another setting. That ain't enough. My question is, what does the number have to be? What cataclysmic number? What enormous or astronomic number do we have to hit in a massacre with the same gun for some redneck idiot in Washington to say, you know what, I'm done? What number is it? Do we need 30? Or do we need, watch this, or do we need one of these idiots to walk into, see, I know what it is. I know what it is, and I hate to say this, but I'm going to say it. Ain't nobody black took the AR-15 and shot a bunch of white folks. I know I'm probably going to get kicked off the air. Ain't nobody black took the AR-15 and shot a bunch of white folks. Because if this was a bunch of black folk going around shooting a bunch of white folk with the AR-15, I promise you, they couldn't get a pen fast enough to change the law. I promise you. I promise you. But it's sickening to me. And it should be sickening to you. But what's the number? How many? How many got to die? How many have to die in order for this Congress, this House of Representatives, these senators to say, okay, I'm done? At what point do the numbers have to increase? Do we need 50 in one setting? How many do we need? Is there a number? Maybe that's the case. Maybe there isn't a number that's needed. Maybe there isn't a number. Maybe there ain't enough people dying. Is it not the right color? Because it's been white kids getting shot too. So it ain't about the color of the kid. So what number do we have to reach before somebody says it's too much? I didn't really want to talk about this too long, but it's just mind boggling to me. How many more babies? How many more adults? How many more churches need to get shot up? How many more malls need to get shot up? How many more schools need to get shot up? How many more concerts need to get shot up? How many more sporting events need? What is it going to take? What is it going to take? Do they have to lose a family member? Is that what it's going to take? Does it require somebody in Congress or somebody in the House of Representatives, someone in the Senate? Does it require one of the big wigs, one of the big takers of money from the National Rifle Association? Does it require one of them to lose a family member in one of these massacres for them to say, okay, it's enough? When is it enough? When do we become tired? I'm tired of watching TV and breaking news, another mass shooting or active shooter. Active shooter. That's the new term now, active shooter. Schools going on lockdown. How many more times do we want to turn on the television and see schools going on lockdown because we got some idiot running around with a gun that he should have never been allowed to buy in the first place? How many more times is that going to happen before we decide as a people that we're not tolerating it anymore? It's not just a handgun issue. It's a gun issue, period. This is illegal. I'm not talking about – see, normally I'm only here yelling about illegal handguns. I'm talking about the legal ones, the ones that we shouldn't be allowed to buy. I know some of y'all feel however you feel, and that's fine, and that's your right. I can't tell you how to feel, but some stuff is not rocket science. Some stuff is not rocket science. It don't take a lot to tell people that this gun, the one common denominator in all of these shootings is this one dang on gun, the AR-15. It's the one common denominator. And it's a semi-automatic. The same gun was used before with what they call a bump stock that made it automatic. But you're going to tell people, you're infringing on my rights. You're infringing on my rights. If I can't buy me a rifle, I ought to be able to buy whatever rifle I ought to be able to buy. I'm an American. It's my Second Amendment right. Kill yourself. Do that. And shut the hell up. Do that, because you ain't hunting with it. You just want to sit in your backyard and shoot at trees, and then when you lose your mind and lose your job, you decide to stop shooting at trees, and you decide to go shoot a bunch of people. They real quick to racially profile black people. You know what you ought to do is look, there is a list somewhere of everybody who has purchased an AR-15. Guess what? I know it's going to sound bad. Start interviewing. I would start sending for, excuse me, how you doing? We noticed you purchased the AR-15. We just want to sit down and have a conversation with you. Is that all right? Is that all right? We just want to sit down and have a conversation with you. We don't really want your gun. We just want to talk to you. We noticed you're 17 years old and you bought an AR-15. Where is your gun now? Is it locked away? Are you crazy? Huh? I ain't playing. I'm over it. I'm just done, man. It's just heartbreaking, man. And then to see these people, and these kids are traumatized. They'll never be the same. These kids are traumatized. These kids are traumatized for life. All because we have a bunch of spineless cowards sitting in seats that they're supposed to be working for us, and instead they're working for gun lobbyists because we have a bunch of cowards in office, and nothing worse than a coward with power. There is nothing worse, and I say that wholeheartedly, and I say it from a personal level. There's nothing worse than a coward with power. Afraid to act. Have the ability to act and afraid to act. Have the wherewithal to act, but afraid to act. A coward with power. That's exactly what they are. They are cowards with power. Power to make change. You have the power to save lives, and you refuse to do it. Sir, ma'am, madam, that makes you a coward. Ain't no other way around it. Ain't no sense. I can't sugarcoat it. That's what you are, a coward. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back, y'all. I'm going to jump into today's article. It's going to be good. Five ways to shift your worship team's culture. Five ways to shift your worship team's culture. I'm going to try to bring this back and make it light again, y'all, but I'm sorry I got caught up in that one. Come on, Byron Cage, with the tight suit. Give us a little bit of this. I will bless the Lord. Come on.
Come on, I will bless his name. Is there anybody in this place that is here to bless him? Let me hear you make some noise. Come on, here we go. Magnify.
Magnify the Lord with me.
Come on, sing it to him, sing it.
Whom the Son he has redeemed.
Come on, set, clap your hands.
Praise Break Friday. Your boy, your host, Daniel King, in the studio today. We're going to have a good time, y'all. We were talking about this whole gun violence thing, this latest shooting. It's a shame we have to even say latest. This latest shooting. I'm trying to read some of these comments on, I'm not sure what's going on Facebook. Frank, can you check Facebook for me and let me know what's going on? I see one number, but it looks weird. Not sure what that's about. Anyway, make sure we still got a good picture. Let me say this. On Instagram, keep singing, Byron. Keep singing. Thank you. Marissa says, yes, they are traumatized for life. Children don't want to go to school now. Right, exactly. Carrie says on Instagram, she says, yes, true, this gun should be taken off the market. But the truth is, it's not the gun. It's the mentally ill individual that have the guns. Yes. Yes, and that's what I was stating earlier. I don't know if you were on here earlier, Kerry. I stated earlier, there was a law in place that didn't allow mentally ill individuals to even be able to buy guns, especially mentally ill individuals who are on the record as being mentally ill. But our president, that good old Donald Trump, you know, number 45, he just erased that law about a week and a half ago. He just did that a week and a half ago, and it's sad. It's sad. that's the case. But yes, it is mentally ill individuals. And here's the deal. I'll say this. I tease my favorite niece in the whole wide world, Danielle. I tease my niece all the time. She wants a FOIA card, and then she wants to go be able to buy a gun. She wants to get through the whole concealed carry deal. And here's my thing. I tease her all the time because I say this about anybody who wants to buy a gun, and I say this as a responsible gun owner. You have to have the right mentality to own a gun, because the minute you decide to pull it out and use it, everything in your life changes. Let me say that again. The minute you decide to pull it out and use it, because let me say this again, don't pull it out if you ain't gonna use it. Now, I'm gonna give y'all some hood language. Ain't no sense in pulling it if you ain't finna use it. Don't show it, don't advertise it if you ain't finna use it. So everybody does not have the right, mentality, or for lack of better words, the right temperament to be a responsible gun owner. And then when I say a responsible gun owner, there should not be a gun in your house that is not locked away, or at least has a trigger locking mechanism on it. I'm not going to get into this too long, because I'm going to do this article because I got to get out of here. But there should not be a gun in your house. Ladies, wives, boos, bays, whatever y'all call yourselves, husbands, man, woman, my chick, whoever you are, all y'all, if you in the house and your significant other owns a handgun, can I say this, and I mean this in all sincerity, is it locked away? Like, is it locked up? Like, meaning, if someone broke in your house right now and you're not there and they start rifling through your stuff, will they find your handgun readily accessible to use? If a kid is in your house right now and he's going through, and I know we can say all day long, look, I bought this gun, I'm putting it over here, don't you touch it. That don't mean nothing to a kid, especially a teenager. A 10-year-old, an 8-year-old, a 5-year-old, don't telling them not to touch something. You might as well put it on the table and say, don't touch it. Ain't no sense in hiding it. Don't tell me you got it in a shoebox. It's it's in your Air Force One box on the shelf in the closet. Don't tell me that. Responsible gun ownership starts with you. If you decide, just because they gave you a FOID card, and I know some of y'all listen, like, what's a FOID card? In Illinois, we have to have a firearms owner identification card. In some states, it's not required, especially in open carry states. But right. This is a good question. Thank you, Felicia Martin. Felicia says, shouldn't it be readily accessible if someone breaks into your home? Yes, but readily accessible does not mean irresponsible gun ownership, meaning it shouldn't just be in your drawer next to the bed and not have a key lock, a gun locking, a trigger lock, or in a gun lock box. So that means if you have a gun in your house and you keep it next to the bed, because that's okay, fine. Let's say that's where you want to keep the gun. You want to keep the gun in the little thing next to what they call that little thing, the little stand next to the bed under the mattress. Really? Not a good idea. But even if you decide to put the gun under the mattress, then you buy a trigger lock. I'm going to help somebody today. You buy a trigger lock. Trigger locks are not that expensive. They're not that expensive, and if it's going to save your children's lives or anything else, then just get one. Guess what? Trigger locks are $20. They're $20, and they fit right between the trigger being pulled or whatever. That way you can leave the gun loaded and everything. You just lock the trigger. And it's readily accessible. You can grab it, unlock it, and have that thing ready if somebody breaks in your house. Yes, we are concealed carry. We are concealed carry state now. You have to have a permit. Yes, we are we are concealed. Illinois is now has concealed carry. If you have a concealed carry permit, some states like Texas has open carry. Right? Open carry means your gun, you can carry your gun on your side. I wish I could, well, I ain't gonna show y'all nothing, but I'll show you with my phone holster, right? So open carry simply means, let me stand up for the people. I know y'all on the radio can't see this, but I'll give my best explanation. Open carry simply means that I can see, you can see my handgun, means you can see the gun from three angles. So if the gun is on my hip, right? Let me move this microphone. All right. If the gun is on my hip, right, the gun should be visible from three angles, meaning from three sides you should be able to see the gun. That I am abiding in the law if you can see the gun from three sides. So that's on my hip, right? Right. So that's what that is. That's open carry states. A lot of them have the three-side rule, meaning I have to be able to see this handgun on all three sides of you from three different angles. Let me say it that way, from three different angles. That's simply what that means. So like Texas, Arizona, there's some other areas, Alabama, Georgia, those are all open carry states, right? Yes, in Atlanta, yes. Georgia is an open carry state. So you can buy your gun and you can carry it. You don't need a concealed carry license like you do here in Chicago. And concealed carry simply means I can carry a gun and you don't, and I don't have to let you know that I have one. It can be hidden underneath my sweater or in the back of my pants on a holster or on a leg holster or any of those things. That's simply what concealed carry means. Right? But I'm talking about responsible gun ownership. Get a gun lockbox, people. Get a gun lockbox. They have gun lockbox. They have biometric safes that you can program, just like your cell phones. You can put your thumbprint on it, right? So that way it unlocks with your thumbprint or your fingerprints, whichever one you choose to use. They started about $120, but is it worth saving your kids' lives versus you just wanting to be the first one to go out? I got my concealed carry. I'm good now, but I'm keeping my gun on the shelf next to the sugar in the pantry. And then when my 5-year-old nephew come over and my 15-year-old son come over or whoever comes over and they decide they want to go play and be like, ooh, my daddy got a gun. Can I show it to you? Let me show you what my daddy got. Ooh, my daddy got this new gun. It looked just like the gun from the Matrix. Let me show it to you. And then and then we reading about you on the news. Because I'm in here trying to show you a trick that I saw them do on the Matrix, not knowing that the gun is loaded, and then it pops off. And then, watch this, responsible gun ownership. Y'all don't even know how to clean your guns. You don't even know how to clean these things. You do know you're supposed to clean the gun? Y'all, some of y'all got y'all granddaddy's gun underneath the mattress, and that thing ain't been shot in 15 years. Guess what? It ain't gonna shoot. Or it's gonna shoot, and you're gonna kill yourself. Again, I'm not against guns. I am for responsible gun ownership. Just like you're supposed to be responsible with a car, right? There are things that you need to do. Let me move on. Let me get to this article. I'm done. Let me move on. I can't. Let's go. Ooh, Jesus. Today's conversation. Let's jump right into this, y'all. Y'all ready? Yeah, I'm ready too. Let me move on because I was about to go in, all the way in. Y'all ready? All right, let's get the article. 30 seconds. Here we go.
We hope that you're enjoying today's broadcast. If you have any questions or simply would like to comment on today's show, please give us a call at 347-934-0546 or you can reach us at 855-381-8804. We would like to hear from you.
Amen, amen. My brother Devon, amen. Let's go right now, y'all. So we have this great article, 5 Ways to Ship Your Worship Team Culture. Felicia, I saw your comment. You do need a license to drive. Yeah, but they'll let anybody have a gun. No training whatsoever. Absolutely. That in itself speaks volumes. You need a license to drive, but you can just go and buy a gun with no training. They make you get a learner's permit first in school. And then they make you take some driving tests. And then you have to go to the state and pass at the DMV, the written and the driving test. Whereas with a gun, all you got to do is check off some stuff and say, I ain't crazy and I don't plan on killing nobody. And 2 days later, you can have the most powerful handgun in the world with no training whatsoever. They're not obligated to show you even how to unload the thing. You just buy it. Yeah. See that? Amen. Five ways to shift your worship team culture. Here we go. He says, we talk a lot about passions, having a passionate worship team, but is that really enough? He says, I have a feeling it's not, and I think you might agree. He says, there are a few goals that rise above me. He says, having a fire for Jesus behind and beyond the stage, a steady daily gaze into his word, a heart that trusts his goodness through trials, a team that loves the church, not just their opportunity to play. He says, I'll take that any day over charismatic bass player who has cool hair and good stage presence. Of course, he says, cool hair and good stage presence isn't the devil. I work on my hair and my stage presence, he says, though some may contest. These things aren't mutually exclusive, but it's important for us to create a culture where a fire of Jesus is cultivated off the stage. We need to do more than just call for energy, stage presence, and leadership of songs. He says, because here's the reality. This is good. He says, if you have a person on fire for the glory of God in the secret place, it's going to show in their leadership on the platform. It will. He says, I might not be mosh pit backflips and spirits and sprint across the stage, but a fire for his presence will release an authority in worship that is better than just manufactured stage presence. Yeah. Yeah. Come on. This is good. He says, and isn't that what we're after? An authority that comes from knowing God, his voice, his heart, his will, his way, not just charismatic personality skills on the stage. If you capture one idea from this article, make it this. Stop focusing on passion. Build a culture of integrity. Oh, my God. He says, are you tired of a floundering worship team? Do you want a culture you're proud of, one that outlasts you? Growth is not an overnight process. It takes intentionality and time. Let me read that again. Growth is not an overnight process. It takes intentionality and time. He says, if you're a parent, you know this. The two-year-old stage can feel like 10 years of torture, but then all of a sudden, they're so grown up, all of a sudden, it feels quick. It's the same with your team. Oh, this is good. When you start to change the culture, you will face resistance. You'll be tempted to give up and just dial in Sunday mornings. It feels like an eternity of zero progress. But over time, your faithfulness will turn into growth, fruit, and maturity. Believe it and get started now with the culture of integrity. Let me say this. I don't care how well you sing. I don't care how well you play. If you're not building your relationship with God throughout the week, then what you do on Sundays is just going to be a show. If you're not building that relationship, and y'all can attest to this, I know I got some choir members and singers who are listening right now and some praise team members or former praise team members that are listening right now. If you're not talking to God throughout the week, Sunday is going to always be a struggle. You're going to have your Sundays are going to have ebbs and flows, right? You're going to have a good Sunday one week and a bad Sunday the next week. And then you're going to be wondering, why can't we do this? And how come it can't be like this every Sunday? Then you need to ask yourself the question. Don't point at the congregation because they ain't clapping. Maybe you should take a look inwardly. Maybe you should look in the mirror and go, what can we do differently? What can I do differently? Maybe it's me that's stopping the congregation from worshiping. Oh, my. Maybe it's me that's hurting the congregation. Maybe it's something that I'm doing that's not appealing. Maybe it's something that I'm saying. Maybe it's the way I dress. Maybe it's the way I talk. Maybe I sound angry all the time. Maybe I sound like I'm being pushy, or maybe it's something. But maybe I need to take a better look at myself before I accuse the congregation of doing something they're not supposed to, or before I say that the congregation isn't taking the time to do what's necessary. There's going to come a time where it's going to take more than your great voice and more than your great keystrokes and more than your great drumming to push some people through. There's going to come a time where authenticity has to have its place. Authenticity needs to be on the forefront, and your integrity is going to come into question. Let's go right into this, y'all. He says five ways to create a culture of integrity. Let's go right into this. Let's go. The writer says this. He says, here's how you get started. Number one, spend time in his presence together. He says, seriously, how can you expect to lead people into his presence as a team if you're not going there together? Ooh, go deep. If you're strapped for time as a team, don't cut corners here. But he says, build this into your rehearsal. Worship without instruments in a circle. Worship on stage in rehearsal as a band. Teach your team how to linger, how to pray, how to hear his voice in worship. Can I help somebody? Oh, this is rich. This is good. This is good. How do you think you're going to be a better worship team if you can't even spend some time in worship and prayer together? Think about this. Can I talk to my church choirs and my praise team members and all that stuff for a minute? Can I talk to y'all for a minute, those of you who are go to churches and who are in church choirs and who are part of praise teams or praise and worship ministries? I know y'all do that prayer in the morning. A lot of churches have a prayer in the morning before they go out to sing. But let me ask you this. How often do you pray with these people before Sunday? I'm going to let that rest right there for a moment. How often do you spend time in prayer with these people on before Sunday? How much time do you spend in prayer with your musicians before Sunday? Or is it just, okay, it's Sunday morning, y'all, let's join hands and pray, and then we're just going to go sing? What if you did this? Here's a crazy thought, right? Y'all know me. I think sometimes crazy. Here's a crazy thought. Thank y'all for watching and listening. TTLO Radio. Thank y'all so much on Facebook, Instagram, Ustream, and everywhere else, Blog Talk Radio. Here's a crazy thought. If this is really your worship team and you really want to see your team expand and go beyond the doldrums of just Sunday morning, if you really want to increase the level of worship, what if y'all started a prayer call during the week? Strictly for your choir, strictly for your praise team, strictly for your musicians. And you said, you know what? We're going to have a prayer call at this time. And any of y'all that's able to make it, y'all can call in and we're going to pray for each other. It's going to take about 10 minutes. That's all it's going to take. So y'all can do it on your break or whatever. And we're going to do a prayer call. And we want everybody to know, because we just can't pray 10 minutes before service start on Sunday together. I'm talking about praying together, worshiping together. It takes a certain amount of wherewithal, huh? It takes a certain amount of wherewithal to stick to this, to say, you know what? I'm gonna make us pray. And if you're the leader of the team, you should say, this is a prerequisite for being on the praise team. This is a prerequisite for being on the choir. If you're the choir president, I don't care if you're the minister of music, part of being a part of this music department says this: we have a prayer call. And on the beginning of that prayer call, just like you do on a conference call at work, hi, my name is Dana. State your name as you come onto the phone. Hi, I'm so-and-so. I'm the drummer. Hi, I'm so-and-so. I'm the percussionist. Hi, I'm so-and-so. I'm the piano player. Hi, I'm so-and-so. I'm the third alto. I'm the fifth alto. I'm the second soprano. I'm this. I'm that. And you go on there because now we're building some sort of rapport. So now when I see you, now watch this. I saw you at rehearsal. We prayed. I saw you. I heard you on the prayer call. We prayed. Oh, my God, we prayed. Because we all have something to pray for, right? We prayed. And then by the time I get to you Sunday, because see, now that you gave me something to pray for, because you may have something that you need us to pray for during the week that may be still, watch this, you may come to church heavy on Sunday because you didn't have anybody to pray with you during the week. So then when you get to church Sunday, we're wondering why you're down and why you're downtrodden and why you look beat up and toe up from the flow up. And we're wondering, well, why is she so emotional? Why is she crying? And what's going on? But if we had some sort of connection throughout the week, oh, my God, if we had some sort of connection throughout the week, guess what? By the time Sunday comes, we're all on the same page. Oh, my. And we're all on the same page. Now, Sunday, guess what? We're going to worship. Ah, Sunday going to come and we going to worship God with everything we have, because we've been praying for you and you've been praying for me. And now when Sunday come, guess what? We made it through the week and we've been praying together as a family and as a unit and as a team. And now when it comes time to stand before God's people and give him some glory, we going to show enough show out. That's if you were praying and spending time in his presence together as a team. That's what would happen. Oh, that's good. That's good. Woo, that's good. Number two says this. Create a challenging environment. Oh, this is good. Create a challenging environment. Here we go. The writer says this. The writer says, always be pushing people to the next level. Oftentimes, we go there musically. We talk about musical excellence, preparation, and creativity. Drummers need to get better on the click. Guitar players need to work on their parts and their tone. Vocalists need to stop looking bored. We know this. But what if you create a culture of spiritual invitation, an atmosphere where it was difficult to exist if you weren't intense about your pursuit of Jesus? He says, imagine that. I think we often get nervous issuing such a challenge, but people will rise to the occasion if you cast a vision and pastorally lead, no doubt. Create an environment where you challenge your musicians, where you challenge your singers. You challenge people to go to another level. Don't get satisfied with where you are. Can I help somebody? Can we go to the secular side of our lives? Go to your jobs, your places of employment. Your places of employment, you work hard, right? Some of y'all do. Let me. Some of y'all do. But you work hard, and you work hard with the expectation that you'll get noticed for doing a good job. Watch this. But you also do it because you're expecting to do what? You're at some point during the year, you're expecting a what? An increase. And you're expecting that increase based off of, this is how well I do the job that you asked me to do, and I've taken it a step further, therefore by doing what? Now because I've done this thing, I expect a what? A raise. Oh my. I expect a raise because of the work that I'm putting in. I'm not just doing the work to stay where I am. I don't do mediocre work because mediocre work ain't going to let you notice me, and mediocre work ain't going to tell you when you sit back doing your budget that I need to give Dana a raise. But if I'm giving all I can, if I'm constantly pushing the envelope, if I'm constantly trying to take us to another level, then when the time, watch this, I can do that because I want to see more. I challenge myself to go higher. We do it on the secular jobs, in our secular lives. We challenge ourselves because when we know if the raise is only this amount, I'm going to do all I can to get the top amount. Why don't we do that in church? Why don't we create that same challenging environment? Why don't we have that same wherewithal to say, you know what? I think we can do better. Why don't we have that? Why don't we push that? Why don't we push that? I think things would be so much greater if we did. Amen. Amen. Create a challenging environment. Oh, that's good. That's rich. I like that. That was number two. We good. We moving. Y'all, man, look, I know nobody's saying nothing. That's okay. Amen. I'm gonna talk anyway. Amen. Let's keep going. Number three says this. Number three says, don't get too busy for one-on-ones. Ooh, don't get too busy for one-on-ones. See, this is good leadership. Don't get too busy for one-on-ones. The writer says this. When your team is small, it's easier to meet with people one-on-one, but soon your team grows and you also begin to grow apart from your people. Resist this urge. Find a way to give people one-on-one attention, even if it means raising up other leaders to help shoulder this. It is important. Without it, misunderstandings can flourish. Gossip can win the day. A healthy one-on-one can turn harbored frustration into good conversation and a healthy relationship. Seek peace with everyone on your team. One of the things that I loved when I worked at Chase for about 5.5 years, Chase Bank, well, it's now Chase to you all, but it was Bank One when I was there. I left right when it became Chase. One of the things that Chase made all of their managers and supervisors, managers, and VPs do is they had to have one-on-ones with their direct reports. You had to do it. And you had to do them monthly, which means no matter how many people you had, so even if you were a supervisor, right, even if you were a supervisor and you had 17, 18 employees, within that 30-day period, you would have had to have sat down with one at would have had that sat down, and they only took about 15 minutes to do. So you could literally do them and knock them all out in the first 15 days of the month. But we had to have one-on-ones with all of our employees. When you were higher up, when you were a manager, so you had three or four supervisors. You had to have one-on-ones with your supervisors. And here's why they expressed doing that. They never wanted you to be disconnected from your team. Why are you telling us this, Dana? The same thing applies in church. If you have ministry leadership meetings, and I've seen people do this. I've seen Reggie Royal post all the time when he takes his leadership team out for lunch and they have leadership meetings. I've seen other people do it at their churches. John Hanna's does it. You got to sit down and talk to your team to make sure everybody is on the same page. If for nothing else, to make sure everybody is okay. Sit down and talk to your – if you're a pastor, right, and you got five or six associate ministers, right? So you got five or six associate ministers. You got a chairman of your deacon board. You got a co-chairman of your deacon board. You got a trustee chairman of your trustee board. You got a co-chair of your trustee board. You got your usher president. You have all the people. These are your leaders. This is your leadership team. You can't go months and months and months without having some sort. I'm not saying you got to feed them. You ain't got to take them to lunch. But I'm just saying you can't go months without addressing, just bringing them to the table and saying, hey, y'all, this is just so I can check to see how y'all doing. And to give you an idea of where we're going next. That's good leadership. That's what good leadership does. And then at that point, you can address issues. And then you get a feel. You get to look at people in their eye and see how they're doing. And then if, watch this. After the meeting is over, because you have this open dialogue, somebody may have a problem that they may not want to address with the rest of the room. But guess what they'll do? Because you have this open dialogue, they'll say, hey, Pastor, can I talk to you after the meeting's over? Hey, praise team president, can I talk to you after we get out of rehearsal? I got something I want to address. Can I talk to you after the meeting? You've opened the door for that, and that kills so much confusion. It kills so much confusion. You have no issues at all whatsoever when you do this, none whatsoever. But you got to do it. You got to do it. Amen, amen. Let's keep going. That was number three. Yeah, that was number three. Let me give y'all number four. I'm sorry. That was number three. Number four says this. Come on. Pop up on in there. There we go. All right, let's go. Number four says this. And we're talking about five ways to shift your worship team's culture. Number four says this. Create a culture schedule. Create a culture schedule. The writer says this. What doesn't get scheduled doesn't get done. Too often we craft mission statements and vision points only to see them hang on a wall that never gets looked at. That might step on some toes. He says, too often we craft mission statements and vision points only to see them hang on a wall that never gets looked at. If those statements don't reach your calendar, it will never happen. Your vision needs to become an appointment. Your mission needs to be a task. I know this doesn't sound very exciting, but it's the only way your team will accomplish anything and the only way you'll see momentum begin to shift. Oh, this is good. Have a vision for discipleship. How are you scheduling that into your workday and team calendar? Want to write more songs? How are you scheduling that into your workday and team events? I've said this all day long. There's a very good scripture in the Bible. It's in Habakkuk. And the scripture says, write the vision and make it plain, right? That's what the scripture says. Write the vision and make it plain. Writing it down, but never putting it into action does no good. I know somebody ain't want to hear that. But writing it down and never putting it into action does no good. I don't care how much money you spend on a banner and hang it outside the front on the front door of your church. You can have it hanging in the sanctuary of your church. You can put it all over the place. But if you put all these scriptures up and then never follow through on anything, what have you done? What have you done by doing all of this, right? You can have the best vision in the world, but if you're not casting it, let me help somebody. I don't fish. I've never been fishing in my life. But I know people who do fish. You can go buy the best equipment. You can go to Dick's Sporting Goods right now and probably spend about $500-some-odd on a rod, reel, and all this equipment to go fishing. It does, and you can put all the bait on the hook. You can go buy the best bait. You can do all these things. But watch this. Until you cast it, come on, somebody. Until you cast that thing into the water and actually start trying to put it to work and put it to use, you do yourself no good. You're not going to be able to help anybody by just holding on to all of this good equipment. So you got all this equipment. You done went and bought. Look, y'all, look what I got, man. We got this and we got that. If you're not using it, to its full extent, then you're just saying, hey, I got the best equipment in the world. Y'all see this? This is what they use on ESPN for sports fishing. I got the best equipment in the world, but I ain't going to catch nothing because I ain't finna cast it. But what you get that for? Don't worry about it. I got it. Huh? Oh, my God. Put these things on the calendar. Make them a part of what you're going to do. Set some time aside, not just to write a vision, but to then cast the vision. Don't just write the vision, cast the vision. Last one, number five. The writer says, resist rules for now. He says, high standards without an environment of acceptance, love, and vision almost feel like legalism. He says, it's like the worst form of Christianity, telling people what they shouldn't do but casting no vision from the glory of God. A heart in love with Jesus is a heart set on righteousness. He says, I'm not saying you shouldn't have standards and team rules, but don't start there. If a new team member joins your team, don't just shove a behavior list in their face. Begin to cultivate the ground of honor, love, fear, and respect for the majesty of God. A massive view of God overwhelms the petty issues. Huh? What does that mean? Can I help somebody? Somebody joins your organization, or let's just say joins your church. The first thing you do is hand them your church's bylaws. I mean, the minute they walk in the door, after they done joined and came down the aisle, you take them in the room and you go, here's the church constitution. Now read it and learn it, and you better not break not one rule in this church constitution. What happened to love? Have you cultivated the ground before you start throwing these rules in my face? Have you cultivated the ground before you start sharing with me what Article 5 of Section 15 of the Constitution says? Have you shown me any love before you start throwing this rule book in my face? Could you imagine this? You adopt a child. Let's say the child is in an age of understanding. So you adopt a child at, say, 10 years old. And you bring the child in the house. And the first conversation you have with said child is, let me tell you the rules of the house. Now, you ain't shown me no love. You ain't shown me no type of love, no sort of care, no sort of concern or whatever. But the first thing you're going to tell me is, these are the rules of my house. You don't go in my refrigerator. You don't touch my stereo. You know, we get that Bernie Mac rule. And I love me some Bernie Mac. But y'all remember what happened when Bernie Mac first brought them kids to his house on the Bernie Mac show? The first thing he was saying is, that's my TV. Don't touch my DVD. Don't touch my new stereo. Don't touch my old stereo. Don't touch my classic rock. Don't touch my disco. Don't touch my house music. You better not touch my hip hop. He went through all of this stuff. And a lot of times in church, we do the same thing. The minute they walk in church, okay, now you remember my church. Pull your pants up. Your skirt too short. Your heels too high. You need on some stockings. You need to put some lotion on. You can't wear your hair like that. Why you got all them eyelashes on? You wearing too much makeup. What you doing with earrings on? Why you got on earrings and you preaching? I'm going to tell y'all about that one on another day. But why you got on? Y'all know I have to have somebody say that to me. Somebody said that to me. Well, I'm sorry. They didn't say that to me. They said that to someone else. Why he think? Who won't they pass to wearing earrings? That's your issue with me? Really? That's your issue? Let me ask a question. Are you mad that I wear earrings, or are you mad that mine are real and yours are cubic? I'm sorry. Let me stop. Seriously, though, that was somebody's statement. That was literally somebody's statement. You know what I'm saying? We want to throw up all these homemade rules before we show any love towards people. Who does that? Who does that? Only in the church. Only in the church. That's what we do. That's what we do. Let me close out. The writer says this. Isn't this what we're after? We're leaders for the long game, not for the quick compliment. Don't we want to make disciples across generations? Aren't we leaders in order to bring change? Let's dialogue. How have you created a culture of integrity and change in your team? What works and what doesn't? So that's pretty much it, y'all. I mean, we have to do. I love this, man. One of the things that I think where the church makes a lot of mistakes is we try to bog people down with our homemade rules. I say that again, our homemade rules. Not biblical rules, not the commandments, not love ye one, not love, not the first commandment, love ye one another, not that one. But we want to bog them down with Article 6, Section 4. We want to bog them down with where, you know, you don't walk down the center aisle in the church because it's holy. You know, the center aisle is sanctified. Y'all do know that, right? The center aisle in the church is holy. That's holy ground. Don't you walk down that center aisle. It's holy. But that's what we do. That's what we do. That's what we do. Let me get ready to get out of here, y'all. It's been a fun week. Let us pray real quick. Father God, we thank you for what you've done throughout this week, God. We thank you for your loving arms and protection, God. We thank you for your love, God. We thank you for your mercy, and we thank you for your grace. Now, God, we ask that you continue to be a blessing to all of those, God, who are watching right now, God. We ask you continue to flourish them, God. Continue to expand their ministries right now, God. We ask that you would enlarge the territories of everyone who's listening right now, God. Everyone on Blog Talk, everyone on Ustream, everyone on Instagram, everyone on Facebook, God. We just ask that you would just continue to bless them, God, as only you know how, God. Then, God, once again, I continue to ask for a blessing for the McCurtis family, God. They're making their way back this way, God. They're doing the things necessary, God. Yes, they still have some tough moments, God. Yes, yes, it's still fresh on our hearts and on their minds, God. But we thank you, God, for being a keeper, as only you know how, God. Continue to bless this church, God, Kingdom Baptist Church, God. Even continue to bless our new pastor, Marcus Clemens, here at this church, God, in a special way, God. Give him what he needs, God. God, increase his spirit of discernment as only you can, God. In Jesus' name, we ask this thing, God. God, we ask you to continue to bless this community, God. Bless this city. And God, we ask for a special blessing, God, to those down in Parkland, Florida, who lost their loved ones in a senseless shooting. God, we ask right now that you would soften the hearts and the minds of those who sit in seats of power. God, remove the greedy spirit, God, that allows them to only take money from the NRA. God, remove them, God. Soften their hearts so that they may do the things necessary, God, so that lives no longer have to be affected by this dangerous and evil weapon. It is in Jesus' name we pray, because we know you can do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Look, y'all, I got to go. It's been a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Friday. It's been a wonderful week. I appreciate y'all. I love y'all. It's been an amazing time, but I got to go. Y'all stay blessed. Stay blessed. Stay blessed. Stay blessed. Please stay blessed. TTLO, we out of here. Peace. Woo!
Mm-hmm. No limit. No boundaries. I see increase all around. Say no limits. No boundaries. I see increase all around me. Come on. Stretch forth. Break forth. Release me. Enlarge my territory. Can you pray these words with me? No limits. No boundaries. Come on. That I see increase all around.